Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Happy Monday. This morning, I'm going to speak about some of my own personal experiences using the system in this book, I'm Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams. I am, I am, I am. And I think many of you probably have this book, and I'm sure that many of you have used systems of alchemy and precipitation in the past. And you know, maybe you, like me, thought at first, oh, another system, you know, I know all those things. And it's true that many of the things, not all for sure, that are in this book, we kind of knew about. But you know what? The reality of it is, I have to admit, I was not really mastering those concepts. I was not a master of those concepts. And so this book has really inspired me to take up this science of alchemy anew and to really go for it as far as mastery goes. And this morning I'd like to read one chapter from this and relate to you some victories that I've had in the area specifically dealt with in this. And so in case you haven't read this book or don't know what it's about at all, some of the basic tenets are to have a notebook. He calls it a 79-cent notebook, and obviously it might vary in price. Mine was $2.49. But anyway, have a notebook, and you carefully and very methodically, according to a system that he outlines here, write down what you'd like to receive from God. And so we've all done treasure maps, but the way that they advocate doing that in this book is very precise, and there, he also is a very, very big proponent of tithing, among other things. And so I'm going to skip quite far forward to chapter 23, just because it has some really important lessons in my life. And this chapter 23 is called Foolish Spending. So here we go. Beware, beware, beware. Dangers lurk in this ocean of wealth and abundance. Good people can lose their birthright. Honest people, who otherwise would have enjoyed brilliant careers, happy families, and living in the lap of luxury, instead bring themselves to a tragic end. He's a little hyperbolic, but that's great. He's excited. You know, he's a really energetic person, in case you haven't read this yet. They have everything, and they lose it all. They lose what God has given them because they fail to recognize the dangers of spending money foolishly. My friend, the general, reminds me that spending your money in one of the following three ways is guaranteed to carry you sooner or later to the lagoon of broken dreams, where the murky waters of foolish spending will strip you of your wealth and your health and leave you stranded in the boggy swamp of those who might have been. Whatever you do, please avoid spending your way in the following ways. Number one, failing to tithe, spending God's money on yourself. Failing to tithe and then spending on yourself can be truly disastrous. You owe God 10% on every dollar you get, period. It is His, not yours. He does not like it when you cheat Him. He is doing all the work. You may think it is your genius or sweat that has created your wealth, but it is not. If you doubt who is doing the work, you can stop tithing for a month and watch your prosperity come to a screeching halt. Remember, tithing is not for God's benefit, it is for your benefit. God does not need your money. Tithing is for you. You tithe for your own benefit. You are paying for your spiritual growth. You are paying for the things you receive. You are keeping your ego in check and recognizing the source of everything you have. You are tithing because God is in charge and He expects you to. You tithe because you love God and it is good for you. Where you tithe is as important as tithing itself. You send your tithe to individuals, groups, and institutions who provide you with spiritual assistance. Send your money to those who help you grow and learn spiritually. This is about cause and effect again. You send the money to pay for your growth. You do not take groceries from one store and pay another. You pay where you get the benefit, and you increase the effectiveness of your tithe. Oh, here's another thing to remember. You do not tithe based on need. Tithing is for your benefit, not for the benefit of the recipient. If you want to support homeless people, starving children, or any number of excellent efforts, good for you. But that is not tithing. That is charity. Freely giving freely to others. If you want to support a religious organization you left several years ago because they have fallen on hard times, great, do it. You'll get a tenfold return. Just do not count it as your tithe, because it is not. You tithe where you get the benefit. Tithing is for you, not them. Tithe 10% to God on every dollar you receive, and you will be rich beyond your wildest dreams. If, however, you decide to keep it and spend it on yourself, you will do two things. One, he will stop giving you what you ask for. Two, he will take his 10% anyway. This is another very important part of this book, is, and I believe it, I can see it, that he claims, this author, Thomas Polly and Penelope Polly, that the law of the tithe is there regardless of whether you actively participate with it. In other words, the universe takes the 10% whether you actively give it yourself in the best spirit, and you don't get the benefit if you don't participate in it in the right way. You will pay more for the things you want and need. Things will break down. That's how it happens. Things break down. Calamities happen, and you know, your money just gets sucked away. Your wealth will decline, your health will deteriorate, relationships will erode, and your life will become more of a bowl of pits than cherries. A couple started using this system a few years ago, and they did very well. They could not give 10% at first, so they gave what they could with the intention that they would pay more as their income grew. Well, they flourished, and for a year they increased their tithing until they reached 10%. Then something happened, as it often does. This life is more of a test than a reality. Their income dropped for a period of time, and their expenses had increased over time. They lived in a bigger house. They ate at nicer restaurants. They spent more on clothes and on and on. So they dropped down to giving 1% or 2% of their income. They continued with this level of tithing, and amazingly, their income continued to drop. Within 6 months, they were considering bankruptcy and blaming the system, mumbo jumbo, I believe was the term. Fortunately, they asked for help, saw the problem, and increased their tithing immediately. Their income rose accordingly. The universe will test us. God wants to make sure you will keep your word. Because once you stop tithing 10%, it is always harder to start again. Many, many people fail to receive their wealth for this very reason. So, foolish spending, number two, playing God, saving other people. God allows no others before him. Spending to save other people puts you between them and God. You are playing God. You become their savior. It is a serious, destructive practice. God will not allow it. He will take your money, your health, and eventually your life. Let us assume you have followed all the steps outlined in this book, and you have great income and have everything you have ever dreamed of having. What do you do now? Now you start paying your sister's family bills. You know how tough it is, and you have plenty, right? Why not help them out? Pay their house payment, month in and month out. You pay the bills that keep them in their house. Sure, your brother-in-law hates his job and would probably do better if he went back to Texas, like he is always talking about doing. But what the heck, you know better. Besides, your sister is suffering. She is forced to buy her children, your nephews, used clothing. You are dressing your kids in designer wear, and hers are practically in rags. One step up from the poor people your church takes Thanksgiving dinner to. Why not buy them some clothes, too? I don't mean for birthdays or Christmas, or just an occasional gift, but every month you take them out and buy clothes. Or maybe it is easier to simply pay their credit card bills. What can it hurt? You are supposed to give after all. Right? Wrong. Dead broke wrong. There is a fine line between giving freely to others and playing God. Maybe God wants your sister and her family back in Texas. Maybe there's a car wreck waiting for them here while Texas holds the key to their prosperity. Your money is the only thing keeping them here. Every sign in the world has told them to go, but you keep writing the checks. Or maybe your sister is supposed to get so frustrated that she gets a job that leads to a business from which they prosper. Maybe they are supposed to go into therapy and you deny them this natural evolution of their life, of their life. Or maybe the reverse occurs. Because you buy them everything, he feels emasculated. They fight and eventually get divorced. Whatever the outcome is for them, it is worse for you. You put yourself in God's shoes. You took his place. You put yourself before God. And what did Moses carve on those stone tablets? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you pay somebody else's bills, if you become the source of their good, you will lose your money, your health, and then your life. I know of a woman who learned this lesson the hard way. She had learned this system of achieving wealth and followed it to the letter. She tithed regularly, she gave freely of herself, she maintained a positive mental attitude, and love was her favorite color. She and her husband had developed an excellent business, were in good health, and never wanted for anything. Then she started paying her two brothers' family's bills. Month in and month out, she paid their rent and their utilities and even their food bill. She even gave them cash to live on. This all came to light because her husband took ill. Slowly over the months, his health deteriorated. He worked fewer hours in the business, and he developed a strange, unexplainable shortness of breath. His heart was okay, but he had no energy. He grew weaker every month as she paid her siblings' bills. Eventually, the business suffered. New business dried up. Old, long-established accounts stopped buying. Within a year, the business was on the verge of bankruptcy, and he was in bed more days than not. The doctors had no explanation for his illness other than the modern-day equivalent of, he needs a good leeching. The truth was, he already had several leeches attached to his well-being. Once this woman stopped paying her family's bills, both her husband's health and the health of their business improved overnight. Literally, the next day, an old client decided to come back. Her husband's mysterious illness eventually vanished into thin air. Her two brothers and their wives took back control of their own lives, and everyone lived happily ever after. Sometimes your own children can cause you to fall into this trap of playing God. Once your kids are grown, they need to develop their own relationship with the universe directly, and you need to stay out of it. Everyone, even your own children, has the right to learn through their own actions the law of cause and effect. If you get in the way, you hurt them as well as yourself. This can be very painful for a parent. Our friends had a 24-year-old daughter living with them. She never could seem to get enough money to buy a car, much less live on her own. Our friends knew this wasn't good for anyone. Their daughter was constantly fighting with the mother. These fights were small, annoying problems that served as a constant irritation to the entire house. After consulting with Marilyn, and this is his financial coach as far as developing this system. She knew she already was a coach on all this stuff. After consulting with Marilyn, our friends decided to charge their daughter room and board. It gave her a sense of worth she did not have before. She also got used to paying rent. On a higher scale, she was asking the universe to provide her with rent money, not the parents. By paying her parents rent, she created a category for rent, which the universe filled. Almost immediately, she began making more money at work. Many of the problems at home went away. She made more money and had more fun. Within months, this girl bought a new car, found an apartment, and moved out. Playing God is a very bad idea. It hurts everyone involved. It stagnates your spiritual growth and creates an effect which can cost you everything. Foolish spending concept number 3. Hoarding, saving for the wrong reasons. Save for the wrong reasons and the money train runs out of gas. The concept here is hoarding, loving the money more than its resource. Remember, the root of all evil is love of money. God wants you to trust in Him, to love Him above all things. When you hoard, you are placing your faith and trust in the money you have saved. You have put money above the good of the universe. You are saying that no matter what happens, you will have the dollars or the pesos or yen you need to handle it, which simply is not true. You cannot possibly save more money than God can take away. You are not as powerful as the universe. Think of the Titanic. It was designed to be unsinkable, the safest ship to ever sail the ocean blue. It was thought to be so safe that they didn't even take all the lifeboats on its maiden voyage. They left them back on the dock in England. It took 5 years for men to design and build the unsinkable Titanic and about 2 hours for the forces of creation to turn it into a rusting hulk on the ocean floor. The universe is more powerful than anything you can devise. Hoarding means you are asking God to prove his power. Bad idea. Very bad. This does not mean you cannot save money or invest or have retirement plans. All these things are well and good. It is the excess we are talking about. And as usual, the most important aspect is intent. What do you intend to do with the money you are saving? If you are hoarding money, squirreling it all away for a rainy day, watch out. The first thing that will happen is a downpour. You will get what you are preparing for. Every thought is a command. If you are saving for hard times, the subconscious produces exactly what you are most afraid will happen, hard times. Those rainy days will come, and you may very well be washed out to sea. Spend your money wisely and avoid the quicksand of spending foolishly. Tithe first with the first check you write. Do not under any circumstances play God. Save but do not hoard. Spend wisely, and you most certainly will be rich beyond your wildest dreams. So there's two concepts in here in this chapter that really had a lot of meaning in my own experience in my own life. The first one was tithing, failing to tithe. In the past, I would say that I gifted a lot. I donated irregularly, and I felt that that was pretty much the same way, the same thing as tithing. And finally got it through my head, and this was quite a few years ago, that it was not, because I just felt in my bones that I needed to participate in this this yoking of myself to my guru and to this law, the tithe. And so I did it. Immediately after figuring out how much to write the check for, I realized that it was more than I was gifting. On that irregular basis. And it kind of had to suck my breath in because that was a big check. I did it, though, and I stuck with it for years and years. And one thing that I noticed was, even though I was writing a check that was much bigger than I thought I could afford at the time, nothing really changed in my ability to pay all my bills on time, to make all the same lifestyle choices that I already was making. It was almost like a math error where the figures didn't work, add up. And I didn't bother to kind of figure out, well, where is this extra money coming from, or why is it that I appear to have all the same amount of money as I did before? Because I knew that I was giving more exactly the way this book describes. It was a math error. And it was a happy math error, and I've just left it that way. Later on, some years later, I felt an impetus internally to up that to 20%. And I've been tithing 20% for almost 2 years now. And once again, I wrote the first check, and wow, that's a big check. Yet our lifestyle choices haven't changed. I've never failed to pay off every bill. And the math error is even more dramatic. In addition to that, I would say a lot of happy things have happened along the way, which is like, for instance, potential health crises that have happened to people in our family that might have been really expensive, and we just had no problem paying them off. And that almost seemed like a math error, too, because I don't really know how we did it. Anyway, the fact is the disasters don't come and slam you and take your money away when you're in this sweet spot of regular tithing. And especially the 20% is a very interesting spot to be in, because it seems like you can just ask for anything. And so I'd advocate trying it. The second one, which was just playing God and giving your money to people just to save them from their own karma or get in the way. I can't say that I've really ever done that. I haven't had that experience, I don't believe. The last one, hoarding, saving for the wrong reasons, I have an interesting life lesson there. And that is that many years ago, I was quite younger, I was doing which a lot of people do, and that is to pretty much spend all your money every month, and you'd be down to like maybe $20, $50 in your checkbook before you got your first of the month paycheck. And I didn't like it because it didn't feel good. And so I took the advice of financial planners, which you've all heard, and that is to build up some months of expenses. I decided I was not going to live paycheck to paycheck, which is probably a good thing because I don't think it's a good best practice anyway. So I laboriously saved my money through some sacrifices and got it up to the point where I had in my checking account, at the lowest level it ever got, one entire month's worth of expenses, meaning that if I just got no income, I could still live for one more month. And it felt a lot better, and it really helped me. It really helped me a lot. So at that point, I was kind of, I think, saving for the right reasons. And then I increased it to 2 months. And then I increased it to 3 months. And then I increased it to 4 months. Because I perceived that that's what these financial planners are saying. And I thought, well, if something's good, then more is better. However, I have to admit to you that with some serious self-searching, many years later, after having retained this 3 or 4 months worth of buffer for years, I was harboring a fear inside, and that I was actually maintaining that not completely due to the best of intentions, but possibly, honestly, it was partly out of fear. Fear of something going wrong and just needing to pay my bills. And so that crossed the line, I believe, into the wrong version of this. And so my family is trying an experiment here. This summer, we planned an amazing family vacation. We went to Norway, and we were there for over 2 weeks, and we all took part in planning it, including the children, and it was a wonderful experience. And we used that fear buffer to pay for our vacation. And so now it's not there. And, you know, I feel great. And I feel more tethered to God right now as a result of not having this buffer there that was fear-inspired. And it's the kind of righteous good feeling that you get when you first start to tithe and you realize that you're yoking yourself to a really good thing. And so anyway, I just wanted to relate to you that I had an amazing good experience with this part about not saving for the wrong reasons. And I'm continuing to experiment with it, and it's causing me to, I'd say, express gratitude on a much more regular basis and to feel this connection with what I put in this book I receive, because I'm in the right sweet spot. So in addition to all of this, I just wanted to talk just a moment. I hope many of you have a book like this that you've created. He calls it the 79-cent notebook. And, you know, we're encouraged to write a success covenant in the beginning and a number of things. And then you list the items in there that you wish to receive, okay? And I actually take the step of, you can see I put purple check marks next to them after I've received them, and there's definitely some purple check marks in there. And one last thing I'd like to talk about here is that, you know, I see this as a spiritual talisman. It may be other things, but you know, a spiritual talisman is something that we've charged with spiritual energy, which is an aggregation, an eventual aggregation of our good intentions, the spiritual magnetic energy that we've invested in that object over time through repetitive blessing and investing and charging it with this magical intent, you might say. So I'll show you something. This is something that's a talisman for me. It's a white stone pyramid that I bought. And the way I use it is that I'll make out something that I would like to precipitate for the heart center. And I put it on the little sticky note, and I put the white pyramid on it, and I gaze at it at times, and I see the white pyramid precipitating that thing that's listed on there. And I believe that things that go underneath the pyramid get precipitated, because I've seen it happen, right? And so the pyramid becomes this focal point that does work for you at times when you're not right then praying about it or visualizing it. And so it adds a great deal of impetus to your precipitation energy that's happening. And I think that this notebook is the same thing. But I'll caution you that I think that it matters how frequently you review what's in here and read them through. Jackie Fleeter tells us that people that have moderate success read these maybe once a month, once a week, or something like that. And she says people who are amazing at precipitating things, they read their goals one or two or three times a day. Okay, what are they doing? They're making with their reading their goals, they're adding more energy, more crystalline clarity to their goals, and they're creating a more powerful talisman in there. So I just wanted to bring this up because I think that it's important to spend the time with the system. If you've made out your notebook some time ago and you haven't looked at it for a week or more, well, you're probably a little bit like me because I'm right now working on myself to look at it more often. Because I believe in the concept that I just outlined, and that is that greater frequency and the feeling you put into reading them and thinking about it actually adds to the talismanic power to this. If you don't have this book yet, it's easy to get. You can go to our front page, and if you scroll down just a little bit like this, there's an ad right here, and you might not see it right away because it rotates. You can see there's other products and offerings here, but if you click on the right or the left, you can scroll through them. It says, donate $25 and receive I'm Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams. You click on there, it takes you to the store, and you can start with this. Not just getting the book and being aware of and familiar with and working with what I think is the most powerful system of precipitation in the world, but you'll be starting the flow because this donation is giving, and giving starts a flow. Giving starts a flow, which is the whole point of this system, I believe. So thanks so much for listening this morning. I appreciate it. And Lisa, I'll turn it back to you. God bless.